This is the last one we'll be doing on the overflow, and the Lord is moving us a different direction from here. But I'm very excited about this one, this last one, because I think a lot of times we feel like when we're in the midst of something or something is coming against us in our lives, that it's like it shuts everything off. But I want to show you today what the Lord showed me this week about there is no shut-off valve. And in fact, sometimes when it looks like the enemy is coming against us and things are waiting on us, that's the point where the overflow is the most powerful. Somebody say amen. And in Psalm 23, it starts this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Wow, we don't have to go any further, right? That's amazing. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let me say it again. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you're ever in a point in your life where you're wanting something, you need to go talk to your shepherd. Amen? Because he has a plan for you, and that is that you do not want anything. He says he will lead. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. So he's blessing you, and he's restoring you at the same time. I love that. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You notice that it's not, I don't camp out in the valley of the shadow of death. I don't dwell in the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes things happen in our lives and we want to camp out or live there, but that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, I'm going through it. Things may happen in this world, right? But it's what we do with those things. Right now, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of COVID. We are not camping out and accepting the things that COVID is bringing. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. I was talking this past week with one of our school officials about this matter. And we were just discussing and sharing some things. And I told him, I said, you know what? I feel like it's us against them. And in reality, we should all be on the same side against COVID. It's not us against them as a school district. We've got to stop seeing that. It's all of us together fighting a common cause. That's what's going to break this thing, is when we start seeing us as all being on the same team. Okay? It's all of us against COVID, not our government against us. We have to stop that. Somebody has to draw the line and say, enough with strife. I'm on your team. You may not be making great calls, but how many people have watched college sports or the NFL or baseball, and a coach makes a wrong call? They do that. You know why? Because they're human. And here's the secret. You're going to make wrong calls in your life too, because we're human. But the way to break this thing, the way to destroy the enemy, is to call him out for what he is. He is a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, to divide. A house divided against itself will what? Fall. That was a little extra sermon you get in there, okay? So we walk through the circumstances. We don't camp out there. Because what does it say? It continues on and says, I will fear no evil. We don't have to be fearful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why? Because our shepherd will protect us. With his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Rods and staffs were used to guide and to direct sheep where they needed to go. They weren't to beat them. They were just to guide them and direct them. And then it says this part, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I always thought that was so interesting. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know what the Lord showed me this week? There is no lack. When your enemies show up, guess what? He's out there preparing a table. What's on the table? Everything that you need. Thank you, Jesus. He is preparing a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And I looked up the word enemies, and I always kind of pictured, you know, like a battle, like a physical enemy, but this is what it means. Your adversary. Who's our adversary? The devil, right? He's our adversary. But it also means enemy is something that binds you up, that ties you up, that restricts you, that makes you suffer or be in distress. So all of a sudden, enemies got a little bit broader, right? And why is it that it's important to know that? Because it doesn't matter what you're going through, if you are a child of God, He is preparing a table for you, even in this place where you are bound up, tied up, restricted, you're suffering, you're in distress, your adversary is coming against you. Why is He preparing a table? Well, let's keep going. He says, I am preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil. So He's preparing a table, and then He anoints your head with oil. And this is an amazing truth that I was learning from Rick Renner. He was sharing about when athletes would go to compete in Bible times, in the Roman days, they would literally douse them with grease. That was part of their process to get ready to go and to compete in these, like our Olympics, kind of an idea. But they would douse them with grease. They would spend hours rubbing it into their skin until they were just slick. Why is that? Why is it important that He anoints our head with oil and we don't just see a little drop? Because when your adversary comes to grab you, in those days when they would fight these Olympic type things, they would go to grab the guy, and what happens? They couldn't grab hold of him. He was too slippery. So when the enemy comes to tie, to bind, to restrict, to make you in that place where you are held captive, He is anointing. You need to see not a drop, you need to see a gusher of anointing oil rolling off over you. Why? So that the enemy has tried, but you're gonna slip right out. It means to become greasy. But guess what it also means? To become prosperous, to take away ashes. Why do people have ashes? Because they're in mourning. So you see, when you come through the valley of the shadow of whatever it is that's tried to kill, steal, and destroy you, He is preparing a table for you. He is anointing you, but He's also taking away your ashes. No more mourning. No more mourning. He's come to anoint you. And then I love this next part, and it says this. Oh, wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. You anoint my head. When it talks about my head, it's the idea of this. The anointing oil is so much that you're going like this. Ever seen somebody standing underwater and what do? They shake their head, right? That's what the anointing oil is so much on you that you're just shaking your head. You're just shaking off the things that have been trying to hold you back. And oil is oil or fats, like I was saying, that they would put the grease on them. But figuratively speaking, listen to this, richness. In the presence of your enemy that's come to bind you up and to steal from you and to kill you, you are shaking your head with richness. Woo! Somebody say amen. Amen. This is a picture of the overflow of the oil that is coming on you, that's making you literally where the devil can't reach you and can't grab hold of you. You're shaking off the excess because there's so much richness that's flowing over you. The ashes are gone and He's given you a spirit of joy. And then He says, my cup. You know what cup means? It means a cup, but it also means to hold together. So what you have, you're able to hold together because of this anointing. And then it says to overflow. And I love this word. It says saturation and satisfaction. The overflow. I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. It doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. Today, God's promise to you is, as your shepherd, there will be an overflow of oil upon you to keep you safe from anything the enemy would try to do so that you do not have to live bound or restricted ever again moving forward. He also wants you to know there is so much richness that you're shaking your head because it's almost weighting you because there's so much that's being poured out on your life. And then he wants you to know that this is going to keep going. This table that's prepared, it's overflowing until you are saturated and satisfied. And somebody shout, amen. Woo! The overflow. This picture that God has been giving us this past few weeks, it's all summed up in this. It doesn't matter what the world says things are like. It doesn't matter what the economy says. It doesn't matter what your business says. Those things are not your resources. Your resource is your shepherd. And the very first thing he says is, because of my shepherd, I shall not want. His promise to you today is you shall not want, but he wants you to know that there is such an excess of blessing that he wants us to be living in that we need to stretch our thinking and stretch our minds and realize this is something amazing. Amen? So we're not going to let anything moving forward take away this vision. Close your eyes just for a second. I want you to imagine that you're standing and there is this massive flow of oil. Have you ever stood underneath a waterfall before, or water that's cascading down? It literally just starts from the top of your head and it just flows all over you. That is the anointing oil of God this morning in your life. It's going to make you so saturated with oil that when things try to come against you, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, fear, anxiety, I want you to see those things literally trying to grab hold, but you are slipping out from that because of the anointing oil that God has placed in your life. And then I want to see you shaking your head because of the richness that God has poured out upon you, that it's going to begin to be something you have to shake your head to let some of it go, to let it spray off onto others, because there's so much coming down. And then you're holding your cup. Everything is being held together until you are saturated and satisfied. Thank you, Jesus, for this picture. Let it stick in our hearts and our minds moving forward. When the enemy tries to come in and do something, this picture of Psalm 23 is going to pop into our minds, and we're going to start seeing ourselves as you see us, Father. That even in the midst of our enemies being around us, of things trying to hold us back and tie us up, oh no, you're out there preparing a table because you know we've already got the victory. And we praise you for that today. Anoint every seed that is sown today in Jesus' name, and let there be such an overflow in our lives, Father. The testimony after testimony after testimony is going to come in, Father, of the things that once bound us or held us back, the ashes of mourning that were on us, that were holding us down, whatever it is that was trying to come against us from this day forward, Father, we're going to hear testimonies of how it just slid right off and it was gone. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that we would see ourselves as one nation under God. No more them and us. No more this group and that group. No more division. We choose to be a body that says, no, we are one nation under God, and we refuse to be divided. We will be peacemakers. We will be peacemakers, and we will say, we are on your team. We are on the same team, and we are praying and interceding for eyes to be opened for those that are in leadership, but they are on our team. And when it's our team, then we pray for our team. We pray for our coaches. We pray for those in authority that they will make right decisions, that they will be saved and they will be delivered, and that this nation will rise up again as one. And Father, I just pray that in any circumstance we can, Father, that we would reach out and show love, because that's what the enemy has come. He's come to kill, steal, destroy, and divide. So let us defeat him by saying, oh no, 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 no. We love. I'm on your team. I support you. I'm with you. I'm here for you. And we pray, Father, that as a nation, we would come back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I will tell you, it was an amazing conversation with the school leader, because he was like, it feels so good to hear someone say, they're on my side, and they're not against me.
I want to pray, Shelly, I so appreciate you, what you shared there. And I just want, would you stand in as those people you just were talking about? And we're going to anoint you on their behalf, just like all of these people in education right now that she was just describing. We're going to anoint you as standing in for them. Yes. Amen. Because for those, a lot of them have even lost their jobs because of their stances. And those who are hanging in there, just doing what they have to, but not really, you know what I'm saying? Amen. It's a challenging time. Hallelujah. So Father, right now, as we anoint Pastor Shelley, we stand in the gap for every teacher, every administrator, Father God, everyone in the called, Lord, those who are called by you, because they're out there, God, to be in public education, to be in the realm of public education. Lord, praise you for private schools and all these kind of things, but Lord, specifically, for those you've called to be in public schools, we bind the devil from their lives. Lord, we thank you for favoring them who favor your righteous cause, who are shining brightly, Lord. Well, let's pray over this message today and get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit, in your voice. And we thank you, God. We thank you so much, Lord, for just the blessing and the honor of being able to gather together and worship you and speak your words. Your words need to be spoken into the earth, Lord, to bring change, to bring about your will and your plan and your purpose, Lord. And we thank you for the honor of being used to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, you can open your Bible to, I think, 1 John 4, Ephesians 3, those are the two places we're going to hang out. And the other one is 1 Corinthians 13. That's probably the main one we'll get to. But actually, I'll have that up on the screen for you momentarily. So, but, you know, God is so good. He's so good. Amen. And, you know, just a couple more thoughts, you know, on the kind of the God's plan for this church. Shelly and I have been talking about this lately, just looking over your lifespan and over the last several years or couple decades, whatever, just following God's plan for your life daily. Literally, it's life and death. Amen? And it's a very sober thing to think about the importance of daily fellowshipping with Jesus. Not just on Easter and Christmas or watching television or internet. Praise God for, you know, places we can plug in online, that kind of thing. But actually being in the body of Christ but just your daily fellowshipping with Jesus is life and death. Amen? And Shelly and I were just kind of fellowshipping and talking about that recently. I probably was doing more of the talking. But I was just thanking the Lord of where we are right now. Amen? Because this ministry, this church was not started because of strife, like many others can be, right? I got offended, so I went out and started my own thing, right? This church wasn't started to build a business or for a career, vocation. This church was started because God called us to do this, and he opened the doors for it. You know, this facility is not free, but the Lord has paid for it supernaturally, and your faithful giving and all that is the Lord's provision, and just it's been just a marvelous thing to see. But even down to us following the Lord's plan for where we live, the Lord led us to move to this side of the river many years ago, and to Washougal, and just, you know, it's just important to that we all have listening ears to hear the voice of God for our own lives. And I'm not saying that, you know, everything Shelly and I've ever done, you should go do that. No. You need to hear God for yourself and do what he says. Like, I mean, act on it like your life depends on it. Because it does. Amen? Our quality of life depends on following his voice every day. Somebody say every day. Right? Plug into Jesus every day and follow him every day. And you develop an ear to hear his voice, and if he wants you to make a change somewhere, you'll know it. And that's the exciting thing about right here, right now, is because I have no doubt in my heart that God has called us to do this today, right now. And that just makes me feel safe. Like, this is Jesus' idea. It gives me confidence that I know we're on the right track for the future, right? And I guess what I'm saying is you're in a good place right here, amen? And so we just trust God with all that, but it's just so vitally important that we walk with Jesus every single day, amen? Praise the Lord. But our foundation text, this title, Faith Over Fear, amen? Don't you know Jesus does not tolerate fear? And there's a big word, and a couple of big, you know, words in our society right now are tolerance, coexist, all these kind of things. Well, guess what? God does not tolerate some things. The word hate, don't hate. Well, guess what? I got news for you. Hatred is a biblical value. Not hatred of people, okay? Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Somebody say, hate what is evil. Well, how do we know what is evil and what is good? Somebody, you got one of these books or more than one in your house? We go to God's word and we find out what is evil. Now, where the world gets, you know, where the devil gets all his support is by pointing fingers at Christians and saying, you hate people. No, we don't hate people. Amen? We hate what is evil. We hate what the Bible says will kill you. And we love what the Bible says will bring us life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But this fear thing, right? We ought to be people that have faith that is stronger than any fear the devil could come up with. And that's why it's important to walk with Jesus every day, right? If we walk with Jesus every day, there's no need to have any fear because you're with him. If we walk out from under his covering, we got all the reason in the world to be afraid. We're no different than the rest of the world. Amen? Because we're out from under his covering. Right? Hallelujah. But our foundation text is Mark 5:36, and we spent last week going through these first two sections in Mark 5 and Mark 4. But the passage in Mark 5:36 says this: as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Somebody say, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Therefore, if I'm afraid, then I'm not believing God, right? I'm believing something else. I've heard the acronym of fear, false evidence appearing real, right? And the devil really has no power over anyone's lives beyond what they give to him. Right? All he has is the power of suggestion. That's why he likes using words, right? To spread fear. In the church, the body of Christ, we need to be using God's word to spread faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. So somebody say, I'm not afraid. I only believe. I'm not afraid. I only believe. So if I'm dealing with fear in any area of my life, then the Holy Spirit will kind of come alongside you and help you to see where it's getting in at, It might be something I'm watching. In pest control, you know, we have chemical exposure precautionary training that we go through, right? If it's called, one is called dermal. If you get the product on your skin, you should wash it off. If it goes up your nose, if it goes in your eye, ocular, if it oral, if it goes in your mouth, right? In your ear, right? And so in the same way, in the spirit realm, we have to be people that know how to watch what gets on us. And how's it getting on us? Now, we can't just hide from the world. I've said this many times before. We do not preach hide from the world in this church. No. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit for your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's why it's wonderful to have Christian people in public education, Christian people in medicine, Christian people in athletics and entertainment and, of course, ministry and, you know, these types of things. Because they're bringing light. They're bringing faith to places where there might be darkness. Amen? So we need to be people that are watching what's going in our eyes, watching what's going in our ears, in our mind, in our heart, because that will get hold of us and affect, you know, our faith level. Amen. So, you know, we put a guard up against those things in our life. That's what Jesus said. Well, what did it say, this verse again? When Jesus heard the word that was spoken, what was the word in this story? You remember, it's the story of the leader of the synagogue and his daughter is dying. And he travels to find Jesus. How many know, at that point, if you need something in your life, a miracle in your life, you forget about the political stuff, man. It's like, I know I'm not supposed to be hanging with this guy, but everything we got here is not going to work. I need to get a miracle. So I'm coming to Jesus. Amen? And he travels to find Jesus. And while he's there, a woman comes up behind him with an issue of blood and touches the hem of his garment. She gets a miracle. He stops everything for this woman. Don't you love Jesus? He's not moved by influence. He's not influenced by people of influence, per se. This woman that was hiding in her home came out and got her, and he stopped everything and addressed her and confirmed her healing and her faith. While he was spending time doing that, this word comes that don't disturb the teacher. They didn't call him the Lord or the healer. They called him the teacher. But praise God for his teaching. Somebody say, we need his teaching. Faith comes by hearing God's word. It doesn't say faith comes by miracles. Faith comes by prosperity. No, faith comes by hearing him teach. So yes, teacher, right? But he taught the man something right here, didn't he? He said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid. Only believe. Amen? And so he continued on with Jesus. Somebody say, you just got to continue on with Jesus. Amen? The victory is when we continue on with him. We don't quit on him, no matter what things look like or feel like or sound like. We continue with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. But I want to come down to item C there in your notes, because we didn't get to this last week. And it's called, staying in Jesus is staying in love. And it's interesting, the Lord's already been dealing with it. I didn't tell Shelley what this was going to be about or anything today, but the Lord has already been dealing with us about staying in love. And in this society we live in, it's easy to slip out of love, right? Or call love something that it is not. Amen? We need to make sure we're accurate on what type of love. We're talking about godly love, loving God, loving people. Amen? But loving people doesn't mean we love their philosophies or their beliefs or their issues or their, you know, whatever it is they're doing. No, we love the people. Love them enough to shine the light for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. But 1 John 4:18 says this. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Amen? So really, faith is not per se the nemesis of fear. Love, somebody say love, is the nemesis of fear. And our faith needs to be rooted, the Bible says, rooted and grounded in the love of God, first and foremost. And I've shared this before, that years ago, I was going through some changes and some tweaks and adjustments in my life, and I just kind of assumed there's something wrong with my faith. So I went into every faith scripture. I have a notebook of like 250 faith verses, and let me just get plugged into faith and stirred up in faith. And it was a great study. I'll always use that, right? But then the following year, the Lord spoke to me and said, now I want you to spend this year focusing in on my love for you. And I was like, why would I? How Sesame Street Christian is that? ABC, Jesus loves me. And he was like, son, you don't have a clue about how much I love you. And I'll tell you what, I started getting into that love, studying about the love of God, and I still today am studying about the love of God. It is so deep and so wonderful, right? And he corrected me. He said, you know why you've been studying so hard on faith is to earn my acceptance of you. Because you know my word says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. So he checked me on that. He said, there's nothing you could ever do to earn my acceptance of you. You accept my acceptance of you. Oh man, that was life-changing. Life-changing, liberating. Hallelujah. Praise God. And my faith has grown stronger because my revelation level of ability to receive his love for me has gotten deeper. Glory to God. Amen. Well, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 says this, that he would, and by the way, both of these are great chapters just to go read the whole thing on your own time, right? There's great stuff in there. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being, here it is, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Now, the type of change that Shelley was describing, this is the only pathway to that. The love of God is the only pathway to some sort of miraculous change in our nation, in our schools, in our churches, in our families. And it's a supernatural kind of love. We're not talking about normal human love. We're talking about a supernatural kind of love. And I've even driven through certain parts of town, and they post, you know, even on their city vehicles in one particular town in the metro area, hatred is not a value of the, and then the name of the city, on their police cars, on their public service cars, right? And a lot of people are more into just words, just word service. It doesn't mean anything. They're just saying it so to cover themselves. Right? This is the MO of the world. The MO of the devil, the MO of the world is just say stuff to cover yourself. It doesn't mean anything. Oh no, we didn't leave anyone in Afghanistan, right? It's just word service, just fluff, right? Amen. Well, how many of you know Christians and the church ought not be that way? We ought to say what we mean and mean what we say. Glory to God, right? What is that? That develops trust with other people. Amen. A lot of our, a huge percentage of our country does not trust our government anymore. Including me. My trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we honor them, we pray for them, But it sure doesn't mean our trust is in them. We need to go to somebody, say, a higher power, right? A higher realm. Praise the Lord. And a higher love. Amen. Because I can honestly testify to you, there's a love in my heart for President Biden and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and the governor of Oregon. Kate Brown, thank you. And the governor of Washington, Mr. Inslee, down in California. Gavin Newsom. Yes, these are human beings. And guess what? When you're in a position of leadership like that, you're dealing with higher level devils. So if you were already a little wonky, so the church needs to show up on behalf of Jesus and shine the light. And don't be changed by that mentality out there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, there's people right now that hate the fact that we're even having a meeting today. They don't think we should. But somebody say, we love Jesus first. We love Jesus first. And believe me, it's better for them that we do. Because they think it's bad now. Man, I know we're preaching on, but I got to get to this. Somebody say love. Well, here's the one great chapter on love in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to read this to you together. And this is the Amplified Classic Version, and it is powerful. And the Lord just added this morning. I wasn't going to do this, but he said, I want you to do this morning. So here we go. I'm going to read this to you. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, and look at this, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us. Now that is huge. See, that's what makes God's love supernatural. How many know we need a supernatural move of God? What's going to take a supernatural love, right? I am only a noisy gong or clanging cymbal, really, without his love, right? Verse 2, and if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me. Somebody say, God's love in me. God's love in me. See, a lot of the church has gotten off into worldly love and just embracing everything and calling that the love of God. That is not true. It is not true, and it is deadly. I call it church-assisted suicide. It's an evil thing, man. Yikes for those leaders. God's love in me, right? Which includes hating what is evil. And loving and clinging to that which is good, right? I'm nothing, a useless nobody without God's love in me. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, if I surrender my body to be burned in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. This is where we're at today. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Amen. Glory to God. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. Now that is so right now for the church. I know we're dealing with, like, for example, back to the public schools. The school boards are saying, we don't want you telling us how to teach your kids. That's wrong. But you know what else is wrong? Me, a Christian leader, coming and yelling at the school board. And acting rude and unmannerly in the name of God and my rights. Just saying. Hallelujah. God will give us ways to do that in peace. Amen. Love, God's love in us does not insist on its own rights. There we go. Or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. So, Pastor Steve, then, if it says love does not insist on its own rights or its own way, it is not self-seeking, not touchy or fretful or resentful, well, how do I stand up for my rights the right way? Because we do need to do that as Americans, amen? But see, that's I think the key thing right there is don't be touchy when you do it. If you call your congressperson, don't yell at them, cuss at them in the name of Jesus. Don't tell them they're all going to hell. That ain't getting nothing done, right? The Holy Ghost will show us. Somebody say, the Holy Ghost will show us. And you know one cool thing that he showed us to do is keep having church. Hallelujah, right? Amen. It does not rejoice at injustice. Oh, I read that part. Coming up here. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe. Now listen, no other kind of love does that. Ever heard that phrase? Who does that? Well, what kind of love does this? God's love on the inside of you and me, right? Bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe in the best of every person. Is there any good in fill in the blank? Yeah, of course there is. Praise God. Let's ask Jesus to just bring that good more up to the top. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Yeah, like right now, what are we into? 2 years with this stuff now? 2.5? I don't know what it is. Well, to God, that's like a millisecond. And his love is on the inside of us. So we're not weakening, we're getting stronger. Let me just say it this way. COVID, strife, that's weakening. The love of God is getting stronger and bringing us out and over the top of things. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Number 8, love never fails, never fades or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. That is another good word for today. Everything that's out there just as, quote, science, knowledge, is going to be superseded by truth, by God's light. And it will change the circumstances that our nation is facing if we stay in his love. Somebody say, stay in the love. Amen. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. Our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. And it seems like just over the past 1.5, 2 years, the devil's been doing this in his way. Well, that fear now is superseded by this fear. And this anxiety now is superseded by this anxiety. And this issue now is superseded by this issue. He's such a smoke show, smoke and mirrors. And we just call him what he is. And we don't panic. Jesus is not panicking. Amen? There's a really good, I think it's good. I started watching this new show called The Chosen. Has anyone heard of this? It's like a mini series of Jesus and the disciples. It's really good quality production. And you can look it up on your phone. There's an app you can get. I mean, they did an excellent job of making them Jewish, of developing these disciples' personalities, making Jesus relatable. It's really a good broga. But one of the things I remember is I don't remember if it was Jesus or somebody goes, I'm not shaking in my sandals about that. Guess what? Jesus is not shaking in his sandals about what's happening right now. He's just saying, stay with me, church. Stay in love, right? Stay in faith. If we stay in love, we're staying in faith. Amen? And that supersedes fear. Glory to God, right? Let's finish this up. Amen? Verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways, and I put them aside. Now, praise God, we need to have childlike faith, right? A child just believes, quick to, somebody say, I am quick to believe, but I'm also quick to repent and quick to change and put stuff aside that's just bogging me down. Amen? For now we are looking into a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma, but when perfection comes, verse 12, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part and perfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. Verse 13. And so here we go. This is the final verse here, okay? And so faith, hope, love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief respecting a man's relationship with God and divine things, hope, joyful, and confident expectation. Church, we need to stay joyful and confident, expecting God to come through. Four good words. Have faith in God. And God is love, right? So have faith in love. In God to break it through, right? Joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, true affection for God and man, God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these, somebody say, is love. Glory to God. Let's all stand up on our feet, and we're going to close in prayer today. Hallelujah. I know we went a little bit over, but we need to be running over sometimes. Amen? Oh, just lift your hands and thank the Lord for His word. Father, we thank You for this glorious truth today, for the power of Your great love toward us. We receive it. We bind the devil and his efforts to steal, kill, and destroy and keep us out of fellowship with Jesus and one another. And we declare we love You, Lord. We declare our love for You and for others, God. First for You, then for Your church, then even for the world, God, that we love them, God, that we ask You to save them and help them, Jesus, and help us to shine Your light and to come alongside and be an encouragement, pointing them up in Jesus' name. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.